Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, with this episode, we're starting our sixth year of hosting and producing Eyes on Success. We hope everybody is enjoying it as much as we've been enjoying it. In today's episode, we'll talk about how one man's appreciation for how improved access improved his life led to a project in which he developed tools for improving access for people around the world.
We'll speak with Fernando Botelho both about his own personal experiences and about the F123 project that he founded to help others share the success that he's had. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Fernando.
Another universal truth is that anywhere you go, there's always nice people. They will have different accents. They will have different ways of expressing their willingness to help. And sometimes it's even a little annoying because they want to do everything for you. But there will always be nice people around. In some countries, it's almost offensive not to accept help.
You know, there's many circumstances where I've accepted help even when I didn't need it or even want it, just to keep encouraging people to be helpful and not to put a damper on that tendency of people to want to help.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, you might not be in the greatest mood, or you're busy, or you're stressed, or you're in a hurry, but you take a couple of minutes to explain one thing or another to somebody new, because you might be the only blind person that person is going to meet that year or in their life, who knows. And it would be nice to give them a little bit of useful information. And, you know, it's a small world. They might help you in the future again.
That's right.
Yeah. Or they may help somebody else. So in some way, you're paying it forward.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
eSight, maker of digital eyewear designed to help improve vision for people with low vision and legal blindness. The technology can be used to read, see faces, and explore the world. More information is available at eSightEyewear.com. Let's start by meeting Fernando and learning about what led him to work on improving accessibility to computers and the internet for the visually impaired.
Hi, everyone. My name is Fernando Botelho. I am blind. I was not born blind, but I became blind in my late teenage years. I was born in Brazil. I have lived in quite a few countries, and I'm responsible for the F123 project.
So we'll focus a little bit more on the F123 project later on in this episode, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up with a visual impairment.
Well, it was challenging. I am 45 years old now, so growing up for me was the 1970s and 1980s in Brazil, in Argentina, in Chile, because my parents moved around quite a bit. So we are talking about pre-Apple II days, and then later on the Apple II, the Apple IIe, and so forth, you know, helped me out, but I didn't quite have all the pieces of the puzzle. I had low vision for quite a few years in the 80s, and then became blind in the late 80s, early 90s.
So in some of these other countries where you were growing up, you know, I think in the U.S. there's lots of government support for visually impaired people, and we have things like the National Library Service that distributes audio and braille material to visually impaired people. What were these services like in the various parts of South America in which you lived?
For the most part, there was nothing available. I mean, typically, what you did have available was some very basic services provided by local NGOs, you know, nonprofit organizations, in the largest cities. So growing up in visually impaired in the 80s in Brazil or Argentina or Chile was really something that what was available to you depended a lot on your parents, you know, who they knew, what organizations they had heard about, and what resources they had. I was lucky that my parents were able to buy some equipment that I needed, like a closed circuit TV, like those small micro cassette recorders so I could take notes in class. And I even had private lessons with instructors, with tutors after school.
I understand you came to the United States for your university years?
Yes. I had the chance to study in Bentley College, which now is Bentley University in Waltham, Massachusetts. Then I transferred to Cornell University, finished my undergrads there in sociology. And then I did my master's in Georgetown University in foreign service with a concentration in international trade.
And did you have access to all of the wonderful resources that Pete was mentioning when you came here for your university studies?
Yes, it was amazing. It was really a little evolution in my life because I overnight had access to all these recorded books from Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, and I had access to the Library of Congress books and magazines, and it was just incredible, you know. When I was in school in Brazil, finishing my last 2 years of high school over there, I was like 11th in a class of 43 students in terms of grades when I graduated. Suddenly in the U.S., the same person with the same intelligence or lack thereof went from 11th in 43 students to 4th in 904 freshmen. So it was just incredible for me. It was the same effort, but suddenly I was getting some results.
What did you do after school in terms of your career before you got into doing some of your assistive technology work?
I started out in a small physical therapy company. I was helping them with their computers. That was in Houston, Texas. Then I moved to New York, and I worked in a small nonprofit, an NGO in New York that was focused on helping the blind, focused on improving, you know, professional opportunities for persons who are blind. Then I started to branch out. I worked as a consultant for a organization from the United Nations that is focused on increasing exports in developing country, you know, international trade. Then I went to Zurich to work in an international bank. And this time I was in the Office of Philanthropy Services. Then I guess I got bit by this bug of social impact and social entrepreneurship and all these new fields. And I decided to start my own work. And I figured, okay, let's focus on accessibility.
And that was the beginning of F123?
Exactly.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Fernando's work with F123, where he's working to improve access to computers and websites for anybody, regardless of ability, to buy special tools.
So what prompted you to start F123 and develop some of the tools that you've been trying to distribute around the world?
We started out knowing that we wanted to work with technology, but we had to first figure out, okay, how can we have the greatest impact with what are going to be admittedly limited resources? Because even if I was incredibly successful in raising money, it's easy to see by statistics that, you know, it's never going to be enough to help all the blind around the world with conventional solutions. We have to kind of be innovative to really make a dent in the unemployment and lack of education challenges that exist around the world. So we did a little study. We compared the most widely sold and best known screen reading software in the world, which is JAWS, compared the price of that assistive technology in 1997 and the price of the same software in 2006. We did the same comparison between, you know, an entry-level brand name computer, basic machine, but good quality, also 1997 and 2006. What did we find out? While the cost of a basic computer went down by more than 80%, even adjusting for inflation and so forth, the price of the most widely used screen reading software went up by more than 20%. Now, taking into consideration that this was technology that is absolutely essential, this type of technology is really, really important for the blind, no matter where they are, and that even in 1997, the price was already inaccessible for most of the blind around the world, it was absurd to see that the trend was going in the wrong direction.
So that was sort of the inception of some of these resources that you now offer to people around the world who can't afford some of these solutions.
Yes. We basically figured out that hardware was getting cheaper and better, and software was getting even more expensive than before. So we had to focus our attention on software.
So how does F123 address these issues?
F123 started out with its first project, which we called F123 Visual, which is an operating system that is fully accessible to the blind. So it starts out talking as you turn on the machine. It starts out talking when you are installing it on a machine. It's very friendly, and it comes already with screen magnification and screen reading, of course. But what we also realized is that everything is moving to the web. The whole cloud situation, the whole trend is to have more applications on the web rather than on the desktop. So instead of just remaining on the F123 Visual concept, we also decided to create F123 Access.
And what is different about F123 Access from F123 Visual?
So F123 Access, what it does is that it improves the accessibility of web pages. Right now, it works with Mozilla Firefox, but we have already planned and almost finished a version of this extension for Google Chrome. The idea is that since most of the actions, most of what people do is moving gradually from the desktop to the web, we figured, okay, we need a solution that works online. We launched F123 Access at the end of 2015, and it has been really well received.
So just to clarify what these two different technologies are about, the F123 Visual that you talked about, you said it's a standalone operating system. I assume this is a version of Linux that is fully accessible and people would download it as their main operating system and run it. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. We don't usually say Linux because the word Linux automatically scares everybody.
Ah.
It's just like Google using Android instead of Linux.
Right, right. Good point. And then your F123 Access is more or less an extension tool so that people with just a standard computer can navigate websites.
Okay. I think we should clarify a little bit of what F123 Access does. You see, the conventional way of making a site accessible is you get some consultants or you get some activists, and they mobilize resources and connections and their networks, and they go to a company and say, hey, look, there's so many million blind persons. They have rights too, and they are also potential clients for your company or organization. You should make your site accessible. Now, what happens is that this process is really slow. So what we're doing with F123 Access is this. Instead of making the corrections on the server side, which requires the participation, contribution, cooperation, and funding from that single entity, we are making the correction on the browser side. So nothing changes on the website of whoever is publishing the information, but we make the corrections on the browser of the blind user.
So you would use this as a plugin to Firefox or some other browser?
Exactly. It's what Firefox people call an extension, and the same is available. It's not yet available from us, but it will be soon for Google Chrome.
And how does this work then? Does it make the web page accessible via speech or Braille or what?
Well, what happens is the formatting of the page the HTML and the way it's presented, as you know, makes all the difference. So sometimes, for example, you have a title that is being shown by the website with bold letters, you know, a larger font, a different color, and maybe it's centered, but they forget to put the H1, H2, H3, you know, the HTML code that is designates that phrase as a title. So one of the things that we use all the time, being blind, is the H command and Shift H to jump directly to titles and subtitles and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, if this is not done on the original site, what we can do with F123 Access is insert those header tags on the page that is stored on your browser memory. So the correction is done locally. And what happens is you don't have to learn new commands. You use the same commands you're used to because the modification happened on your browser. And suddenly when you press H on your screen reader, it doesn't matter if it's JAWS, NVDA, Window Eyes, and so forth, you are able to see the title of that page.
Oh, I see. So this plugin or extension works in conjunction with your screen reader that you're using on your PC and just makes some web pages that weren't written up in proper HTML a little bit more workable for the visually impaired. Is that right?
Yes. We don't work directly with the screen reader because the screen reader is just reading whatever is available from the browser. So we just make sure that the browser is working with accessible HTML instead of inaccessible HTML. So the changes are made on the browser itself.
What are some other examples of various types of markup that you put in to make it so that the screen readers can navigate the websites better?
Well, there are as many examples as there are HTML tags, right? So basically, let me give you an example. We decided to make WhatsApp accessible. You have all worked with or used WhatsApp on your cell phones. So send the equivalent of SMS messages and recordings and videos and so forth. Now, if somebody is tired of using the keyboard on their cell phone or dictation on their cell phone and they rather use the keyboard on their computer, WhatsApp allows you to log in via your computer. So the problem is, of course, that it's totally inaccessible if you're blind. So what did we do? Well, WhatsApp is something that hundreds of millions of people use around the world. So it's of interest to a lot of blind people as well. So we made it accessible. For you to jump from one conversation to another, you can use the header command. Many buttons were not labeled, so you would hear a button and you would not know what the button was going to do. So we labeled those, so you hear send or you hear menu and so forth. Edit fields and some forms, not so much in this in WhatsApp, but in other places, there are many forms that you might see what the field is for if you look around with the arrow keys and so forth. But if you're tabbing, you want to hear, you know, address, edit field. You don't want to hear just edit field. So we label form fields and many other, you know, finding your way around the page, having an easy way to jump from one section of the page to another, like menus, content, footer, that's something that we can make easily doable.
So I assume this is all automated and you have some piece of software that's recognizing the characteristics of whatever you're looking for, whether it's a header or an edit box, and attaching a label to it automatically, even though the person who first created it didn't?
Yes and no. It's a mixed bag. What we have is we have some, let's say, automated portions of our technology that, yes, they can find problems that happen again and again on the internet, and they can fix them automatically. Now, other sites, for example, the WhatsApp web site, or what they call is Web WhatsApp, this site was not fixable automatically. So, yes, there are things that we are doing automatically, but then there's also quite a few things that have to be done manually.
So you can make some web pages a lot more usable just with this automatic process, but for web pages that you think are more popular, you go in there manually and adjust how it's seen by the various screen readers. Is that right?
Yes. So it varies quite a bit.
You talked about WhatsApp, and I understand you made some very specific modifications so that that's more easy to use with a screen reader. Can you tell us a little bit about those modifications?
So let me give you an example. The WhatsApp interface. Now, typically, you would not use the header command to designate messages that you receive or messages that you send, because those are not titles and they're not subtitles and so forth. But we found out that, hey, sometimes you're writing a message or you just received something and you want to quickly look at messages that have been sent to you by the person you're talking to. You can go up with the arrow keys, of course, and listen to it line by line, which is very inefficient. Or you could have a command that looked at every message, but just the content, not the timestamp, not the date and the time and the name of the person writing it. But that's also not perfect. What you want to do, at least in our opinion, is have a way of looking at just messages received from that person, and then, if you like, just messages sent by you to that person. So we set up so that headers that are level 4 headers, in other words, instead of using H and Shift H, you use 4 and Shift 4, show you what was written to you. And then level 5 headers, 5 and Shift 5, show what you've written to that person. And then if you want to read all of them together, so you have an exact view of the conversation, you just use H, because then it shows headers, whatever level they might be. So suddenly we have here a tool that is available on HTML, a tag for headers. You have every major screen reading software able to distinguish between levels of headers, but just about nobody uses them because it's not used by most designers.
We've often talked about on this show the difference between something being accessible and something being usable. And so this is a great example of how, although the screen readers make these web pages accessible, you can read everything on the page, but it really isn't functionally usable and efficient to be able to scroll around and line by line and however you have to get around. And to make that experience more efficient and usable is really important, I think.
I agree.
Boy, it sounds like these tools you've developed could save a lot of blind users a whole lot of both time and trouble.
You know, what happens is that there's a very high level of competition no matter what sector you're working in. It doesn't matter if you're a software developer or a history teacher or a physics scientist. But if we can make things more efficient, if we can make our interaction with information quicker and better, I think that's what we need to do. We have here the luxury of not just making a site accessible, but optimizing it for use by the blind. And that, to me, is amazing.
What are some of your longer range plans and ambitions for this F123 project?
Well, we are not shy about our goals. You know, we want to make sure blind people around the world have access to education and employment, regardless of income levels. So we want to get involved in any project that makes that a reality. In the near-term future, I think we want to make sure that F123 access is used very widely and that a lot of websites that until now were not made accessible because, you know, it was not offered by a large enough organization so that they could fund improvements to accessibility. I think our model of improving accessibility is more affordable, and I think it's more scalable. In other words, we should be able to reach many more people by improving many more sites than are available today.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about F123, including how to get the F123 tools.
So if people want to find out more about F123 and the various resources that you have available, where can they do that?
The easiest way, instead of just giving you a lengthy URL, is for people to just send an email to f123access@f123.org.
And I assume that you also have a website and a social media presence?
Yes, we are in Facebook, we are in Twitter and a bunch of other places. But since we have recently started talking about partnerships with U.S. organizations, some of that content is not entirely in English yet. So the easiest way is to write to that email address, and then it'll give you the direct links to resources that are in English and easy to access for everyone.
So do you actually sell your F123 products, or do you give them away as free downloads?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I always forget to mention it. Yeah, we distribute it freely, so anybody interested can download it for free. And the way we are planning to make this sustainable over the long term is by offering accessibility services. So, for example, a foundation interested in improving access to education for the blind might fund our improvements to Khan Academy or Duolingo or any of a number of other resources that are available online.
And I take it there are demos available on some of these sites if people want to download some of this material and try it out?
Yes, we have already done reformatting for WhatsApp, which was the first one we did. We did it for Facebook, and we have done it for YouTube. Now, all of these are modifications that we thought were the best and most practical. But as people give us feedback, we improve on them and make them even better. We are also giving people a chance to activate or deactivate the reformatting depending on where they are. Because we have had situations where somebody has gotten used to the way, you know, Facebook looks, even though it was not as accessible as it could be. But they got used to it, so they rather use F123 Access for WhatsApp and not for Facebook. Other times, YouTube, you know, some people rather use YouTube a certain way. So it really varies according to the person.
As usual, you can go to our show notes for this episode to find all of the contact information and links to their other social media sites at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Make use of those show notes.
That's it for show number 1601. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about a new project that's rendering famous works of art using 3D printers. We'll speak with Mark Dillon of Unseen Art about how they do that. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.